I want to speak to you today and next Sunday. This is a teaching that's going to take 2 weeks to cover. So I want to speak to you today and next Sunday on this subject: why was Mary chosen? Why was Mary chosen? Let's pray. Father God, we have sensed and felt your presence here today among us. And now, as we open up your word to study, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would instruct us, that we would hear your word and that we would receive it into our lives, and that it would empower us and enable us to live our lives in a way that would be more pleasing to you. I ask you, God, would you anoint your word today especially? Would you anoint my lips? Help me to say only those things that are accurate and true according to Scripture. Anoint our ears that we might hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. I recognize that when you start talking about Mary, red flags can go up in some people's minds. On one hand, you know that you cannot have Christmas without Mary. That is, unless you live in Lexington, Kentucky. I want to share with you a classified advertisement that appeared in the newspaper, the Herald Leader in Lexington, Kentucky, advertising a nativity set, an outdoor nativity set, just $100, but minus a few pieces. Outdoor nativity scene. No Mary, Joseph, or Jesus. $100. Wow, is that still a nativity scene? Tonight, when we gather back here at the church for the children's Christmas musical, it'll be rather odd if Joseph comes in and the baby is here in the manger, and shepherds show up and wise men come, but Mary's not there. I think we'd be going away from tonight's musical scratching our heads saying something was wrong with that picture. So on one hand, we know that Mary is an integral part of the Christmas story. Without Mary, Jesus would not have been born. Without Mary, the Son of God would not have come into the world. And this was our text last week from Galatians 4:4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. But within evangelical churches, we have a tendency to be a little uncomfortable with too much Mary talk. And we know that's largely the product of things being taught about Mary, attributes being ascribed to her, predominantly by Roman Catholicism, that we don't believe, and that we can find no scriptural basis for in the Word of God. And that makes us a little bit uncomfortable sometimes as we think about Mary. If you didn't know, you might be saying, well, what kind of things? Well, that Mary was born sinless. The Bible tells us that there's only one person who lived a sinless life, and that was Jesus. Or the teaching that Mary actually never died, but that at the end of her life, she was simply taken up into heaven. It's interesting that because that was a papal edict that was issued in 1950. So we're just talking recent years by Pope Pius. Or the teaching that she remained a virgin through her entire life. When the scripture specifically gives us the names of several of Jesus' half-brothers when we read the Gospels. Or, and probably most of us have greatest difficulty with the thought that we can pray to Mary or that she will intercede on our behalf before Christ her Son. That conflict concerning Mary kind of came to the forefront with a Christianity Today magazine cover article when it referred to her as Incendiary Mary. And it hit the mainstream press with a Time magazine cover some years ago, Hail Mary. And you notice that the little blurb at the bottom here says, Catholics have long revered her, but now Protestants are finding their own reasons to celebrate the mother of Jesus. So there is this ongoing tension. What do we do with Mary? Well, let me say, we should be careful that we don't back off so strongly that we lose out on the fact that the Bible tells us that Mary was chosen. She was selected deliberately by God. Luke 1:28, you had your Bible open already to Luke 1. This isn't quite yet our text, but you can look down there and it says, the angel, when the angel appeared to Mary, went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. Highly favored. The Lord is with you. What made Mary highly favored? I want us to read a little bit more here from Luke chapter 1. It's too much for me to have put onto the screen. So I hope you have your Bible. Maybe some of you have gotten accustomed to the scripture being on the screen and don't bring it anymore. But I want to begin reading. Would you follow along with me? Verse number 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. That's the verse we just read. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Here it comes again. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. We can stop right there and we'll read a little bit more from this passage later. Keep your Bible handy. Keep it open. We'll be coming back to it. Why was Mary chosen? Recognize not just any woman would be selected. I'm sure that God was very particular in selecting the one who would bear his son in human body. Let me give you something that is just kind of mind-boggling to me. Not a single person in this room, nobody, me, you, none of us, chose our mother. Some of you might say, well, if I could have chosen my mother, I would have chosen the exact one that I had. She was perfect for me, just in every way. Others of you might say, if I had a do-over, maybe I would have changed. Bethany, what do you say? Not just any woman would be select. Just this is the mind-boggling part. Do you know that Jesus was in heaven, probably very much involved in selecting who his earthly mother would be? Ever think about that? Who would it be that would be entrusted with this awesome responsibility? What we're going to do in this message, we're going to ask two questions, really. The first question is this: what caused her to find such favor with God? Twice in this passage that we have just read, you have found favor. You have found favor. What caused her to find such favor with God? But the most important question that we'll be asking is this: those qualities in Mary that God observed, does God find those qualities in us? How many of you here this morning with an upraised hand, you would say, I want to find favor with God? Can I see your hand? My hand is elevated as well. I want to find favor with God. I want him to be pleased with me. So as we look at these things in Mary that made God pleased with her, we can be asking the question, is that in me? Is that one in me? There are so many of them that we don't have time to look at all of them. You know, I think about the wedding in Cana. Do you remember that story in John chapter 2? There was a couple getting married, and Mary was there, and she noticed they are running out of wine. And she had compassion. She knew what this would mean to this young couple. That's a character quality she had. She was sensitive to situations around about her. And then she spoke to her son, Jesus, you gotta do something. You gotta. And he said, it's not yet my time. And Mary said, hey, you servants that are there, I want you to do whatever he tells you to do. Whoa. There was some spiritual boldness in her. And you know it led to Jesus turning the water into wine. We're not going to talk about her sensitivity. We're not going to talk about her boldness. I think of another thing we don't have time to talk about. I think of the cross. The Bible tells us that as Jesus hung on the cross, all of his disciples except John turned and ran away. They fled, these men. But standing at the foot of the cross was who? Mary. I think that speaks of her loyalty and her devotion. Qualities that God found in her, I hope that he finds them in us. Well, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at seven of them, but I've got good news for you. This is the part where I tell you that's why we're starting it today, and we'll finish it next Sunday. We'll look at three this morning, four next week. Three this morning, four next week. Here's the first one I want us to talk about today. Mary had a servant's heart. Had a servant's heart. We have already read in our text. Now, let me read on. You got your Bible still there? I want to begin reading at verse number 34 and continue down verse number 38. The angel had been speaking to Mary, and Mary said in verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Now listen right here. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. Stop right there. We'll read on in a few minutes. "I am the Lord's servant." What I want you to know is that of all of the men and women in Scripture who God used, the first characteristic that all of them had was a servant heart. In many other ways, they were divergent and they were different. In other words, David didn't have much in common with Paul, except they both had a servant heart. Moses did not have much in common with John, except they both had a servant heart. Daniel did not have much in common with Peter. Different personalities entirely, except they both had a servant heart. It is the first characteristic of any person used by God in the pages of Scripture, and it is also something that God looks for in us. When God looks for people, even today, as he looks down upon us here at Sandyham Chapel, he is looking for those who have a servant heart, a servant spirit. It doesn't matter if you've got a lot of skills or talent or ability or intellect or experience. What he looks for is, are you humble with a servant heart? It doesn't hurt if you have talents or skills or abilities, but he desires above all else a servant heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, "Brothers, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and things that were not to nullify those things that are, so that no one may boast before him." What is Scripture saying? It's saying God chose us to be a part of his kingdom, his family. Not because we were good. Many of us, we didn't even come close to being good. He chose us because he wanted us, and what he looks for is for us to simply have this servant heart. Jesus talked about it in Mark 10, 43. He said, "Whoever wants to be great in the kingdom must be the servant of all." Servant heart, servant spirit. Now, let me upset a few of you. Not because I like to, want to, but because it simply is the truth. Tragically, in the church today, in the kingdom of God today, there are many, many more people who want to be served than to serve. Be served than to serve. We want God to serve us. We want him to answer our prayers whenever we need an answer. We want him to bless our families. We want him to keep us in health. We want him to provide for our needs. We want him to do this and this and this for us. And very infrequently are we asking, "God, what do you want me to do for you?" How can I serve you? Serve your kingdom. Serve your church. Serve other people. We're more focused on what we need him or others to do for us. Some years ago, I was talking with a Christian, at least he said he was. He didn't go to church, he said. And I asked him, hey, if you're a Christ follower, you're a believer, why do you not go to church? He said, I used to. I said, oh, what changed? He said, well, you know, I went to that church. That church never did anything for me. Preacher never did anything for me. That embodies the spirit of what I'm talking about. You know why I come here today? Not to be served by God, but to serve him. You know why each one of us ought to live for the Lord? Because he's done so much for us already. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
He's done so much for us already. Why are we going through life asking, God, would you do this and this and this, oh, and that, without ever periodically saying, well, God, what would you like for me to do for you, for your kingdom, for your church? In fact, let me just ask, how long has it been since we've asked the Lord, what can we do for him or his kingdom? Most of us initiate prayers with our need in focus. If we have a true servant heart, the kind that God found in Mary that caused her to find favor with him, don't you think there would be some times that we would be asking God, how can I serve you better? How can I serve you and your cause, your church, your kingdom? Okay. Our desire is to have the same attitude of people like Samuel. 1 Samuel 3:10. You can see it on the screen in front of you. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Number two. Somebody might say, this is Christmas. We're supposed to be happy and cheerful and joyous. Let's go sing Joy to the World. We want to be all God wants us to be. Here's a second attribute that we can see in Mary. She had a trusting heart. A trusting heart. If we were to look right there in verse number 38, where we stopped reading a moment ago, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. Now listen to this. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Not only do we hear Mary saying, here I am, but we hear her saying, whatever you want. Here I am, whatever you want. However you choose to lead me, wherever you would take me, whatever you want me to do, I trust you, Lord. My trust for you is unconditional. My trust for you is unrestricted. My trust for you is unquestioned. Whatever you want me to do. I am sure that at that moment, Mary didn't stop and really count the possible cost. She maybe didn't consider the criticism she would experience. She could not have known the depth of the sacrifice she would make. It would begin pretty soon when people noticed that she was pregnant and she would be pointed at and whispered about. How could she know that when she was 9 months pregnant, ready to deliver, suddenly she would have to make a journey, leave her hometown behind to go to Bethlehem? What a difficult trip that must have been. One time I was preaching and said, what a long walk that must have been for 9 months pregnant to walk from Nazareth south to Bethlehem. Somebody came to me after the service and said, oh, she didn't walk, she rode on a donkey. Lots of things that we think are in Scripture that's not there. But hey, is riding on a donkey when you're 9 months pregnant any better than walking? I personally don't know. I can't answer that question, but I'm thinking not. She could not have known that as soon as she gave birth to her son, a young mother, possibly in her upper teens, low 20s, that she would have to take her child and flee to a foreign country for 2 years to save the life of her baby. She couldn't have known. She wouldn't have known how she would watch his ministry and how he would be rejected by the religious leaders, and then he would be despised. And she couldn't have known when this angel was talking to her. And she was saying, yes, I trust you, God, whatever you bring, that it would take her to the foot of that cross where she would watch her son maliciously beaten, tortured. Here's what I think. I think even if Mary somehow knew what was ahead, she still would have trusted God. And here's what I say to us today. God still looks for those who will fully trust in him. This character quality that God looked down from heaven and saw in this young lady, she will trust me no matter what comes. She's got to have it because I know what's ahead for her. He still looks down for us today. We will trust him completely, totally, unconditionally, without complaining. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Isaiah 12:2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, Jesus said. Hebrews 2:13, I will put my trust in him. When we talk about trusting him, we're not talking about trusting God on those times that it makes sense to us. We're talking about trusting him even when it doesn't make sense. We're not talking about trusting him when we are in agreement with what he's doing. We're not trusting him if he promises to show us in advance how it's all going to work out. We're talking about trusting him even if we don't have a clue how it's going to work out. We're not talking about trusting God as long as he asks our opinion. We're not talking about trusting him as long as he doesn't ask me to make any changes or sacrifices. No, we're talking about trusting him fully. God knew the mother of his son would have to have that kind of trust, and she was selected for that reason. And God still looks for that kind of trust in us. The third and final one that we will focus on this morning is that Mary had a responsive heart. A responsive heart. Hope you haven't put your Bibles away. Luke 1, we're going to read on a little bit further. We're going to begin at verse number 39 and read down through verse 42. Luke 1, 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby within her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. What I want you to zero in on with me is verse number 38, the first one we read there. And I want to just circle a couple things for you. Would you Take note, Luke 1, 38, 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Do you understand? She didn't put it off. Do you see that? Immediately, she responded. Immediately, she was obedient. She didn't say simply, I'm available, and yes, I trust you, but I'm not ready quite yet. I will be someday, later, when it's more convenient. I'm a little bit older. Nope. She responded immediately. Mary was instantly obedient. She put her trust into motion. So how does this relate to us? This question. Is there anything that we are putting off? Is there anything that God has spoken to us about that we're not being obedient on? At least not yet. We plan to. We have every good intention. Someday, when the time's right. Is there a sense that God wants us to do something? Maybe something we've even told him we will do. Yes, God, I've heard from you. I know what it is you're calling me to do. And we've said we will. Maybe something he wants us to start. Maybe something he wants us to stop. And we make promises to him. We say, God, yes, I will. I'm going to pretty soon. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 23, verse 21, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. Do you know that when God speaks to us about something that we're to do for him, whatever it may be, and we put it off and don't do it, it becomes what? That's right. We don't like to say it, but it becomes sin. Mary was instantly obedient, quick to respond. She hurried. Can I just say to you, the longer we put anything off, the harder it gets, not easier. Sometimes we think, God, I know what you want me to do. I know the person you've told me to speak to, and I've even told you I would. I know the ministry that you want me to become involved in, and I plan to, and we just think there'll be an easier time. No, the longer we put it off, the harder it gets, and I would follow that up by simply saying, the longer we put it off, the greater the likelihood becomes that we'll never actually get around to doing it. Mary found favor with God because he knew she had a responsive heart. Next week, we're going to identify four other characteristics or traits of Mary that I believe caused God to say, she's the one. Son, there's your mother. There's your mother. Have you noticed what I've noticed in her? What did God notice? Today, he noticed that she had a servant's heart. Here I am. Use me. She had a trusting heart. Wherever it takes me, God, I'll follow you. And she had a responsive heart. And God, I'll do it now. I'll do it now. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, I thank you right now.